This is GamesAtWork.biz with your hosts, Phaedra Hoytadaris, Sandy Carney, Michael Martin, and Michael Rowe. This is your weekly podcast about gamification, gaming technology, and play. The thoughts and opinions expressed on this podcast are those of the hosts and guests alone, not of any organization which we have been, are, or will be affiliated. This is episode 84, Engagement Through Gamification, and was recorded on Friday, May 8th, 2014.
And it's so good to be back with you guys on our podcast. I have truly missed getting together with everyone, and I've certainly missed discussing all the opportunities for gaming and serious play that have gone on over the last month. So it's Sandy, and I'm here in Philadelphia. And by the way, we have semi-decent weather, even though it's still a bit cold for May 9th, but we're going to be hoping for the best here, and summer's just around the corner. So Phaedra, I know you've got some great things to talk about today, and Michael, so I'm going to kick off to you, Phaedra.
Great to hear from you, Sandy. It's been a while, and I'm so glad the three of us are back together again. We miss you, Michael Rowe. So big things coming up soon. Next week in lovely Paris, France, there is going to be a global HR summit whose primary focus is on gamification and serious games. And I'm going to be there talking about next generation gamification and how it can be used to evolve cultures within organizations. So I'm super, super excited. And a lot of our friends and colleagues and business partners are going to be there. So it's going to be great, great fun. So if you're out in the Paris area, please do come and check it out. It's a conference run by the Fleming Group, and it should be well worth your while. Additionally, last week, our friends at Nike had a very interesting game jam, which was hosted by the Harvard Business Review. And the game that they were looking at in particular is called Six, and it's a game that is currently in an analog mode that basically teaches why sustainability is a good practice, you know, what it can do in terms of profitability for businesses. The storyline is around T-shirts in particular, and you've got this line of T-shirts, and what can the sustainability model buy you? And they were brainstorming with the folks at Harvard Business Review and with IBM to see what would it take to digitize the game? What could a new game experience look like? So just tremendous fun. Just a big shout out to Nike for being such innovators in the serious games and gamification space. I know, Michael, you wear a Nike Fuel Band, right?
Well, I wish I could say that. I actually am wearing the
Jawbone
Up.
Oh.
And actually, I'm on the early version, so the V1 of that. My wife is a V2 wearer, and I'm certainly a very intrigued guy when it comes to the ways of using augmented self or quantified self, which is augmented in a lot of ways too, to track, trace, and play the game with one another. So my wife and I are friends, and I am friends with our buddy Andy and a few other people, so we can kind of see how sleep and walking records we've done with one another. But the Fuel Band is one that's attracted a lot of attention for quite a long while, and it looks extremely slick.
They have done some really other interesting things with regards to incorporation of pedometer data into actual video games. The more you run in real life, the more energy that your avatar has within a game, and the more capabilities. So I thought that was really cool too.
Absolutely. You know, so in addition to what you've been doing at the Harvard Business Review and for that particular hosted game jam that was going on, Sandy, you've been doing some very interesting things too as a result of your strategy class at Villanova.
I have. So we're on this fuel topic, which is kind of interesting. So I just finished up a class. They did a strategic plan, and they chose Tesla, and they wanted to extend the strategic plan for an electric car for everyone. And I got to tell you, the class did a phenomenal job. They really did. So much so that when they even put their presentation together, they used a website instead of using PowerPoint, so that it literally just could be a scroll through without any interruption. I mean, they just did a phenomenal job. They went to the Tesla retail outlets, and of course, what was ironic in my perspective as the faculty member was I didn't give them any idea of what they should pick. They picked as a group, and within about 2.5-3 weeks of their selection, Tesla came out and said, "Oh, yep, we're going to be making an electric car for everyone." And now they've started a bake-off, so sort of a gamification of who's going to build the manufacturing plan, who gets to win this $5 billion manufacturing plant. And it's down to 4 states, of which Arizona is one of them, so my home state, Arizona. And, you know, they've really taken it a long way. And what the students did that I really liked was they decided to create a race, a cross-country race, to demonstrate this electric car and you know, show people what it would be like. Since what I didn't know and what we found out in the course of their research was that Tesla doesn't do a lot of marketing. So what I'm actually doing is following along. You know, I've been lucky enough to have a lot of interaction with Musk's companies. When I was at IBM, we did the Picking Up the Pace to Space documents, and he was one of the people that we interviewed for SpaceX, and he's just got a way about him, and again, thinking out of the box, right, doing all these new things. And so he's got this bake-off going now. It's like a game to determine who's going to win the manufacturing contract for him, which, you know, $5 billion manufacturing in the United States right now is really pretty large and pretty amazing opportunities. So and again, he's breaking the mold, as you probably have already seen in the news, with not having dealerships. He's got more of a retail outlet approach. He's got the batteries are 280 plus miles per charge up, and they meet all of the European compliance for batteries. So effectively, when they're dead and gone, they can be ground up and sent back. So very much in sustainability. And so it's been a very, very interesting time to watch as this strategy class unfolded and they, you know, came up with the idea and the concepts for them to extend the strategy for Tesla into the every electric car for everyone, as they called it, the E-model.
That is so cool. Sandy, is there a way that we might be able to even share that presentation? Is that something that the students would mind us sharing with our listeners?
You know what? Again, it's academic, so I will get a link for that, Michael, and we can submit it and put it up. But, you know, again, I just think that it speaks to Musk and his whole entrepreneurial approach to push the limits and to, you know, just to do this concept of manufacturing plant in this way, which, of course, we know in big Department of Defense contracts in the past, it's always been like this. There's a bake-off, a game, you know, who can outperform the other. And so for him to take that to this privatization of manufacturing, I think is just really, really smart. And then the whole idea of having a race with the car and, you know, being able to, and of course, these guys thought it would be really good to do it with college students because they would be able to, you know, they would certainly pick the car apart in a way that no other group would. So it was a very, very good class, and I think the students did a great job. And I think it speaks to Musk and his entrepreneurial spirit of competition and gaming and all the things that he does and how he is able to connect the dots with all these different businesses and companies inside the United States. So that's really kind of the latest thing that I've had going on in one of my major classes this semester, Michael.
That's awesome. And you can see the ties that go into SpaceX and all the X Challenge kinds of competitions this way too. I'm wondering, I have to do a little more research on this as to how transparent it is, right? Because typically when you're getting into this level of competition, like where to locate a major manufacturing facility, states do want to compete with one another, but it's not always as open and transparent until maybe the very end of the process. Do you have any sense for how open this competition is?
It seems like it's been reasonably open, and I would submit that, you know, because California certainly had balked at it because their environmental laws made it almost impossible, but apparently they're having, you know, further discussions with him now. And of course, the other thing that's interesting about this space is that, you know, he's got Solar City, which is the solar business that he runs, which he flipped the tables on that. He, you know, he games everything. So there's gamification, and then there's gaming a system, and he's really smart about doing that. So he created this lease process that made it affordable for people to go solar. And of course now, you know, by doing this, he's connecting the electric car to his solar sort of business as well. And he's picked states that have, you know, strong interest in solar energy. So you've got Arizona, New Mexico, those kinds of states. And they won't really know. I mean, they're kind of starting before they're starting, if you will. Mm-hmm. And there'll be two states that are selected out of the four that are in the running. But then shortly after that, he expects to have, you know, additional manufacturing plants up and running. And of course, this is the other interesting thing. You know, Toyota's been buying batteries from him already. And so there's a lot of interesting kind of behind the scenes stuff going on there. So although, you know, we don't really know, the states know, they know more about what the demand is. They have to have the plants up and running in 3 years. And yet,
wow, that's fast.
You know, it is fast for a manufacturing plant. And so you can see that that whole process is, it's time driven, very much time driven. And it'll be really interesting to see how this plays out. And of course, environmental, there's a lot of aspects to this, right?
So Phaedra, you've seen a number of games that kind of touch into the environmental and sustainability, as well as some of these more commercial ones. Is there anything that's kind of popping to the top of your mind when you're hearing what Sandy's talking about?
I think the most recent one is the one, again, that we saw, the analog version at Nike. Mm-hmm. But I think you're right. There's a great opportunity to do more with it, more to explain, not just to influence with a sustainability game, but as soon as you get a bunch of canned data in there, you can start streaming in real data and say, okay, if my goal is people, planet, and profitability, right? You know, if these are my three P's that I want to reach as goals via my game, what are the different toggles? What are the different things that I can do with regards to my process and how I do business to try and maximize on those?
Right. And you know, this is an interesting space when you think about it, because it's the uncommon ties of this business that Musk, I think, does and makes, which I always find interesting. So, you know, Nike's talking about sustainability in their particular business, but then you see this direct relationship to, let's say, manufacturing plants of the future. You know, where will they be? How will they be? Because as labor costs go up around the world, of course, that's also shifting gears for all these companies. And, you know, you can begin to see it all play out in this virtual space as well. And so I find it to be very, very interesting that these companies are trying to figure out not just how to engage the consumer in play, but they're also looking at all their processes. If you look at Schneider Electric as another example, and that's one of our old colleagues at IBM, Melissa O'Mara, and she does all of the Schneider kind of city planet stuff that, you know, IBM's been very involved in. And they're heavily engaged in where to put the charging stations for these electric cars. And they're talking about, you know, are there other ways to charge things up now, right? And I know Nike's talked about that, is, you know, being the pedal power mentality of, you know, do I need to have a battery for everything? Or can I have a relationship now that wireless works from my sneakers to my flashlight? And I, you know, as I run, my flashlight's now powered up from my sneaker. You know, it's a lot of new things that are being thought of in that sustainability space. And, you know, again, I think because it allows people to break the mold and be innovative, you know, we aren't stuck in that old industrial model. And that's the part that I see like Nike doing and these other companies doing as well.
What I love about this is that the amount of data that gets spun off of the way that people do the things that they need to do. So when you're talking about charging and how people charge and when people charge, I mean, if I think about my experience just today, I had my laptop, I was sitting out on the deck and I was working outside. I had to kind of come in a few different times and charge it up because it was running itself down. So information about when did I walk inside and charge it versus stringing out a larger electric cable is just one data point. When we think about cars and people traveling, you know, you're able to pull that data in because everything is tracked, right? You know the GPS location of the car. You know what the charge was when they left. You know probably what the destination was. Did people have range anxiety and sort of halfway through decide that they wanted to make sure they had a bigger charge or not?
Right.
And there's a gentleman, a professor from the University of Eindhoven named Will van der Alst. And Will has really focused on something called process mining, where he extracts out of the data, the way he calls it, the elephant paths, right? So it may not be the happy path that you're expecting people to do. Like, you know, you drive out to your location, you drive back home, you charge it overnight, rinse, wash, repeat, right? But instead, you recognize what the data is telling you and say, hey, look, the process that's really being executed is a bit different than the way it was modeled. And now you can begin to optimize it because of the way that people are actually doing the things, and the elephant paths through the jungle are really what's being followed instead of the more paved roads, so to speak.
Right. Well, we talked about having like an Airbnb mentality for charging, because that's another great thing about the Tesla. All you need is the equivalent of a dryer plug. You don't need to have this really high tech, you know. And so we had this big discussion in class about, you know, well, look, I'll rent you my electric plug, you know, for this amount of money plus a little surcharge on top of that. And
right. So,
you know, effectively, it's not like you're not going to be stranded. I mean, all you literally need is a dryer plug. The wire is long enough. I mean, it's just an amazing, again, they thought through it in a sustainability fashion that, you know, makes you. But again, I said, oh, look at the cottage industries that are going to surface as a result of this, with like Airbnb mentality or the shared services mentality now for, you know, being able to plug your car in and charge it up. Do you really need to create a gas station, charging station everywhere? Or do you just need to have access to these plugins and, you know, a meter or a fee or whatever? I said, you know, put one out in front of your house, you know, and make it a metered slot and anybody can go charge up.
Well, if it's fast enough, right? I mean, the supercharging technology that Tesla has, you know, is a unique technology right now that does require a supercharging station. But you're right. You know, you could say, hey, make my house discoverable. You know, come over for a cup of sugar, Wi-Fi, and some electricity for your vehicle. And off you go again afterwards after giving me a micro transaction that turns those things on. Right?
Yeah. So it's a 2-hour charge, by the way, on the dryer hookup, where it's 20 minutes on the supercharging stations. Mm-hmm. So, but again, it means you're not stranded. Right. You're not. And I think people will be very, very creative, and, you know, they'll come up with all kinds of ways to, you know, utilize that space and, you know, wherever it might be. And like I said, Schneider Electric's been, you know, they are looking at it already. They're providing charging stations now in various locations, supercharging stations, if you will. So it's kind of interesting to see. And, oh, by the way, the other thing that Tesla's doing is they're, of course, picking places. I think Ireland is one of their options because, again, you know, contiguous island with, you know, a plan to put charging stations all over. And, of course, now you're talking about, you know, emissions issues, et cetera. So, I mean, there's, you know, again, he's just being very intriguing about the way he's going about it all. And as I say, and our part of this is he's gaming the system to the max extent possible and being really smart about it.
Oh, absolutely. Phaedra, you're going to jump in on another point here as well.
Yes, I think this is really cool. Regarding gaming the system, I was curious, did you mean in particular gamification? Like, are they looking at ways of incorporating gamification into the charging systems?
Well, you know, that this is what he's letting it evolve, Phaedra. And I think that if somebody came along and said, hey, you know what, we're going to, as Michael has pointed out, we're going to look at some process innovation to say, you know, maybe this is not the standard way it's always been done. Maybe we're not going to think in terms of interstate infrastructure and we're going to change the game up. And I think if somebody came up with that, he and his group are open and receptive to thinking about it and supportive.
Well, and you could do that in a lot of different ways, right? You could build highways that could do inductive charging as you're driving on them so that you never lose your charge, right? You know, you could do that. Or this is really funny that we're talking about this, Sandy. I'd actually come up with an idea for Tesla specifically on their supercharging stations, because they're free, right? If you have a car that's supercharging capable, you can charge there for free, which would imagine, you know, skate where the puck is going to be, that many Tesla owners are going to wind up congregating at these kinds of places. And there's one, Phaedra, just outside of Burlington, or it's actually in Burlington, in North Carolina, so that if you're heading out west towards Winston-Salem or something, that would be a logical charging station. And I imagined a situation where you would have on your Tesla app on your phone or embedded within your car, because it's the same kind of technology either way, you could go and reserve yourself a spot, you know, that you know you're going to be there at a certain time because you know how you're traveling and your rate of speed and all that stuff. And you might find that all the slots are already taken, right? So, and there are lots of games that kind of do this, right? These are games of, okay, I'm in a slot and I'd like to put something else in that slot. So you might be able to involve mobile and social to say, hey, I'm kind of in a hurry. I'd really like to be in the supercharging slot in a few minutes when I arrive. I'm willing to offer you a coffee if you unhook and let me hook up instead.
Interesting.
Right? You know, because these places are also around coffee places.
That Tesla owners are going to congregate together, just like Apple owners. You know, I mean, again, it is part of that whole, I don't want to say the cult marketing of it all, but it is part of that belonging, that sense of belonging.
Community.
And, it's community.
And yes, and community. So you're right. I mean, Michael, think of all the things. You could create all kinds of games that would be Tesla owner games.
Right. Get to meet your neighbors, you know, Tesla proximity detectors. I mean, there's a whole range of things that could be kind of the Tesla version of OkCupid. I mean, well, you could imagine a lot of different things, right?
Right. You could. And it would be fun. So it's funny. I had no interest in a Tesla car until this semester. And now when they come down in price just a bit, because they are, you know, the luxury models are really luxury, and they're also, you know, 60K. So when the luxury models do come down, I'm going to be one of the people in line to buy one.
Yeah, I've given them a lot of looks myself, and I'm eager to be a customer there too, because I think they've hit the right market niche, and they are an American company, which, you know, American built, American technology. There's a lot to be said for that if you're an American, and I am, and and there's a lot of fun in automobiles anyway. So I'm enthused that you're so high on this, Sandy. This is really a good thing.
Well, and like I said to the class, I'm sending off and I will get the link for you guys to see what was put together, but I'm sending off there. They made a portfolio as well. They had to brief this to some outside executives, and we had an executive from Johnson & Johnson and another third party kind of a company, and then some not-for-profit execs, and they had to brief this, and it went over really, really, really well. So
it sounds like it did. Well, guys, anyway, we are close to our time here. So there's one other little game element that I wanted to share with you guys. And this is about just engagement and play, and team building exercises kind of work out that way. So there's something fun here that happens in Hungary, which is we have a concept of working Saturdays. So here's the intelligence behind that. If there is a holiday that falls on a Tuesday or a Thursday, the Hungarian organizations typically will bring the Monday or Friday along with it, so they have a longer weekend. And then a subsequent Saturday will be deemed a working Saturday. So that way you get yourself like a four-day weekend, and then some other weekend you have a working Saturday. So we're taking advantage of one of those working Saturdays, which is tomorrow, and doing a team event where we've got over 100 people signed up to come. And we're going to be doing some scavenger hunting, some puzzle solving. In fact, Fader, some of the people that you know from the games, the augmented reality games that were done in the company earlier this year, Esther Kovach and others are the ones organizing this.
Oh, so, cool.
So there will be some strange pictures of me. apparently, I'm the white rabbit. So there will be some strange pictures
of
me.
Of course you are.
Yes. Okay. Well, we can't wait to see that.
And I don't even know exactly the role I'm going to play. I've just been told
game master.
What I need to wear. No. I'm going to be a game actor. I just don't know exactly how my role is going to be, other than I'm the white rabbit, and there will be people who have to find me or maybe chase me or something like that. So we'll see. I'll have my jogging shoes on for sure.
And that sounds like fun. And you know what, Michael, that's the whole thing about this engagement space that's so, so important. You know, I think if we don't get anything out of the whole realm, it's that people want to engage with each other, and play is the best way to do that. And I know, you know, both of you are lucky enough to have that in the current environment that you're in. And I'm looking forward to academia moving that direction.
Nudge, nudge.
Hint, hint.
Push. Yes. Shove, shove.
All right. Well, Fader, one last thing from you before we close. I see here in the chat.
Yes, a couple of things. 2 weeks ago, there was an incredible conference, actually one of the best I've been to, called Switch Point. Mm. And it was held in the lovely mill town of Saxapahaw, North Carolina, right on the river, the Haw River. And the Peace Corps was there, and the Foreign Service was there, World Health Organization. It was sponsored by IntraHealth. And it was just incredible. There was a lot of discussion about serious games and gamification, and in particular, a lot of discussions about SMS games. So if you're going to bring gaming to third world countries for behavior change, how can you use really simplistic mobile phones and do play via SMS as a means to change behavior? So a lot of great convos there.
Ah, that so sounds- Infocom-ish. Open the door. Send.
Right.
Very cool.
Exactly. Throw axe. Right.
Well, good. Well, I'll need a couple of those links for the show. So if you could drop those in the chat so I can find them easier, that would be great. But we've run out of time here. So I would like to say thank you again to our listeners. It's been a great show. It was a little short, but we were able to cover a lot of territory in our drive through gaming today. And I would encourage everybody to continue to follow us on Twitter and on Google+ and Facebook and all the other various places that we are. We are excited to come back to you again next week, where we'll have yet more on games and gamification and business. So thank you, Phaedra. Thank you, Sandy. And we'll talk again very soon.
Take care, everyone. Have a great weekend.
Have a good one.
See ya.
And happy Mother's Day to all those moms out there.
And happy Mother's Day to all the moms. Absolutely. Including those on the phone or on the call here with us today on the podcast.
That's right. Take care.
All right. Bye.
You've been listening to GamesAtWork.biz, the podcast about gaming technology and play. We are part of the Blueberry Podcasting Network and would like to thank the band Random Encounters for their song, Big Blue. You can follow us on Twitter at GamesAtWork_biz or at our website at GamesAtWork.biz.
I'm going to count down even. I'm going to actually follow the rules because Michael Rowe would be so proud of me, and since he's not here, in honor of him.
We'll tell him that you are.
But I can only go from 5 because 10's way too long. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.